Hey, welcome to Calvary. If you're not aware, this is the fourth Sunday at Calvary. We call Seawall Sunday, Church Without Walls. And so we do something a little bit different all around. So we don't gather in person on Seawall Sunday. We head out into the neighborhoods, love your neighbor. Jesus said, and all of it kind of boils down to this, love God with all your heart and love your neighbor like you love yourself. And so we do that. We kind of de-emphasize the gathering together part a little bit on that Sunday and head out. And we also do something a little bit different for the online. We still have this online Seawall Sunday deal, but it's not a typical preach and worship and stuff like that. We have these conversations. We've usually called them Conversations with Jesus. But neither one of us fit that role.
No.
And so this is...
I think we ought to at least
a little bit
make
different.
Sure that's explained, yes.
So I'm here with my good friend, Terry Walling, and we have a relationship that goes back, I don't know, back when you were young. I think it goes back that far.
Back when I was young?
Yeah, back when
back
you were
when
young.
Back when we were young. Yeah.
Yes, whatever.
We do, probably what? 10, 15?
No, not I know it's not 15. I always think everything is like 7 or 8. So it might be 10.
Could be 12. 5 or 6 then on your podium.
At least 7 or 8.
Yeah.
I met Terry when I was working on my, I would say my demon degree, but it's not D-E-M-O-N.
Isn't that an interesting name for
Doctor
a ministry?
Doctor of Ministry,
right.
Not my demon degree.
Right.
Terry was teaching at Bethel.
Bethel.
Organic leadership development, and so Terry was a professor, and I was one of the students, and got my leadership, organic leadership.
And
development
you weren't a
degree.
Bad; you were actually a pretty good student.
Yeah, that's good.
If we could just get you away from that computer, it was really good. But you would fully engage, and that's when also I recognize, and I'm not just saying this, that something must be going on at this place called Calvary. And was excited to actually get to know each other and develop friendship.
Yeah, and so after I had all my demon stuff, we continued on.
After we got the demon out of
after,
you. Oh, okay.
Well, that's
good,
what
good.
Lynn does.
Okay.
after we did all that stuff, we continued on this partnership. I don't remember if it continued on right away, but not long after.
Not long after. Yeah.
And so we've been partnering here at Calvary. A lot of people at Calvary know Terry and Robin, his wife. Not everybody, but you've been doing some leadership development stuff with us for, I don't know, that's been going on five, six,
I think that's years. 5, 6 years. We've been doing a lot of helping people understand how God shapes them, been training some coaching, been doing some stuff to basically even help the staff continue to better understand how God shaped them and their own personal development. It's been great.
Terry is a great coach, and he teaches on coaching. And in fact, this last time when he's been here, he'll be gone by the time you're watching this. But while he's been here, we'll have done some coaching skills stuff and some calling stuff. And does a great job of coaching with our staff.
And working with the people to finish some of our older crowd to finish well. You're never done. Discipling never stops.
We had a great time. About 40 people, a deal called Resonance, which was all about people even older than me figuring out how do you finish well? What does it look like to be more in love with Jesus at the end of your life than at the beginning and have a sense of your unique contribution and all that?
It was a great time.
So Terry is the leader.
Did you almost call me Lynn?
I don't think so.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
Maybe Larry.
Let's keep going.
Terry is the leader of an organization called Leader Breakthrough, but he's also part of what he has called Calvary Chico.
Absolutely.
So the relationship kind of continues. So that'll probably come up again in a little bit, but I'm just going to do a quick start. Five questions.
Here we go.
Don't look at the questions.
I've seen you do this before.
Quick start, just to kind of introduce Terry to you all a little bit. So five questions, real quick, kind of first thing that comes
Got
to
it.
Your mind.
Got it.
Chocolate chip cookies or oatmeal cookies?
I peeked at the first one, slam dunk chocolate chip.
Yeah, I mean, Terry has eaten more of Lynn's chocolate chip cookies in the last week than Robin is happy about.
Oh, come on.
Favorite sport and why?
Oh, Really?
I'm throwing you an easy one.
It's God sport. Yeah. It's baseball.
Football. Oh, baseball.
Yeah.
It's unexpected.
Yeah, the Giants went down. So, anyways, you're not Giant, but you're Viking and you're glad.
Twins,
anyways, baseball, why I grew up with it. Heroes in Los Angeles, Southern California were the pitchers. I became a baseball pitcher. I played baseball all the way through university. So it's God sport in the big inning.
Yeah, and so it's the Dodgers that you love.
Yes, the Dodgers that I love. Yeah. And I don't know when this is going to be on, but I'm trusting that if it's on soon, the Dodgers are still in hunt for the World Championship. Even though we're the only nation that plays in it, we still call it the World Series. So
there you go. Yep. And you actually have the opportunity to go to a World Series game as long as...
It's game seven.
Yeah. And the Dodgers are in it.
And the Dodgers are in it. If the Dodgers are in it and it's game seven and it's cloudy on Tuesday and da-da-da-da, I have tickets for the game.
So that'll be kind of fun. Favorite Chico restaurant? If somebody from Calvary, from State College, goes to Chico, California, which is just north of Sacramento, not really God's country, but it is part of the United States. It's part of California.
It's not God's country.
Well,
it's Mecca.
All I know is that every time I talk to you, you tell me it's like 107 degrees. That's different from God's country. Yeah, that's a whole different place.
Yeah, but we don't have the white stuff that typically falls on the ground here where people can't even go out for weeks.
Yeah, snow is nice.
Anyways, favorite restaurant, Tres Hombres.
Tres Hombres, Mexican.
And I wasn't. I mean, I grew up a gringo. My wife's family, Robin, they take salsa intravenously. So if I was going to be part of the family, I have to do Mexican food. And it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
It is a great, great restaurant sorts of amenities there.
I've actually been there once.
Yeah, you've been there.
It's almost as good as Mexican Plaza.
Okay, next question. Which isn't bad. You've actually introduced me to that. Yeah. It wasn't bad, yeah.
It's good.
Way to go. You make me enemies.
No, not at all. So Calvary Chico, why? Yeah. Just talk a little bit about that. Why Calvary? Because I'll be honest, in most of my years of being a pastor, I've never kind of – I've always said to anybody who lives somewhere else, not local, you need to have church somewhere else.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
So and, so just kind of talk a little bit about that.
And we have friends that, you know, we have fellowship with and are part of, but it really has been actually just part of our journey.
Yeah.
And Front Yard Mission and everything that the Church Without Walls represents is where I really see the church both is and needs to go in the future. Could we not
just Calvary, you're talking
not
more
just
broadly.
Calvary, the church itself. And so given the fact I'm only about a year or two older than you, right?
Or 10.
Yeah, let's not go there. So anyways, I really want to make sure that this season of my life, I'm aligning and joining with what Christ is doing in the church.
Yeah.
And I totally believe, even though it's hard, because I grew up in the church. Well, you know what I mean. I grew up going to church, being a part of it. I love church. I love all the components of it. But this is not the same day as when I grew up.
Yeah.
And I know you preach that and teach that a lot, but it's true.
Yeah.
And I work with churches all across the United States, even in different parts of the world. And I really sincerely believe Jesus is doing something new. Mm-hmm. And one of the things he's doing is he's bringing together kind of discipleship and mission. We used to treat them as separate, but kind of what he's doing is being merged with how he's shaping us.
Yeah.
And so when you started sharing, quite honestly, Robin and I are fed in a tremendous way with your teaching, but it wasn't just that. It's actually not, it's what the teaching is saying. It's what it's meaning. And what to us it's meaning is that we've got to get out and kind of re-look at what it means to be an apprentice of Jesus. And, you know, other churches are telling us to do it. We wanted to be more actively participating in it.
Yeah.
So that means donuts on the driveway. That means us getting out and knowing our neighbor's name. I mean, I used to travel all over the world, and yet I did not know my neighbor's name.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I'm not proud of that. And And now we're knowing their lives, and we're involved in their lives. And the people who live next door are some really good friends with us. And we're doing life. You know, and up to this point in time, it felt like church was something you attend. And I knew in my head that wasn't right, but that's what it had migrated to. Now I want church to be something that we are. And we want to do it in our neighborhood. So that alignment and, you know, some of the good, solid teaching that you're able to give caused us to say, we're in. Let's go. And even though there's a lot of geography in between with the online and everything that you're doing, we feel apart.
Yeah.
It's really good.
And so you did. You've called it Mecca.
Mecca, which I know it to be.
You were this last weekend. You were part of Calvary in person, not just Calvary Chico online.
I know, it was phenomenal.
Yeah, tell me about that.
Well, honestly, we hadn't been for quite a while, and just to sit and be with and worship, it was very warming and very powerful in terms of just being with people. And, you know, that's, I think, the battle right now. All of us want to be together, but I think right now Jesus is saying, yeah, but you need to be there too.
Yeah.
So it just kind of reminded us, it's not either or, but it's actually being the church out there and then periodically being the church gathered here type deal. And so to be with everyone was phenomenal. It was good.
Yeah, for us, I totally agree with what you said. Not either or, both and. It's more a matter right now of emphasis, of saying, you know, we've done a pretty good job at different points of gathering, and we still want to do a good job of gathering, but God is calling us also to a greater priority and emphasis on scattering, scattering to love our neighbors and be Jesus in the communities where we're at. One of the things that hit me, I mean, God has to convict me on a message before I can, you know, deliver it to anybody with any kind of hope of it making a difference. And one of the things for me this last week was just that sense that I want us to have encounters with Jesus that leave us kind of stricken with awe and wonder. But I don't want those encounters to only happen inside the four walls.
Right.
I want those to happen in the neighborhood, in the workplace, in schools. And I, with all my heart, I believe that's how it should be. That's how it was in the book of Acts. It wasn't just when we gathered, then it was good. When they gathered, it was good. You know, upper room stuff. But when they scattered, it was experience, encounter the presence of God as well.
And I think that's what transforms us.
Yeah,
I'm not saying when you gather that doesn't transform you. I think that, you know, kind of, you know, deeply moves the heart.
Yeah.
But then when it's joined with obedience. Yeah. Or when it's joined with action, and when we're out there actually seeing it happen in people's lives, that's when you really grow.
Yeah.
And I think because sometimes we've separated discipleship or training and made it a classroom, our mindset is we got to get more and more equipped before we can go out there. Well, having 30, 40 years of experience working with leaders and the church itself, you end up never really going.
Yeah.
You really go by going.
Yeah.
So I think the day in which we're living, you have to behave your way into what Jesus is doing and getting closer to him as opposed to just trying to think your way into it. Yeah.
So that question ended up going not quick, but longer. and the last thing that, you know, I'll just let it lead into Terry sharing a bit more is, and I know you love leaders and you love leadership development, and part of your calling is to help leaders find breakthrough. Leader Breakthrough is the name of the organization that Terry runs. So just kind of dive in. If there's a beginning point for a leader, you know, things that they can do or a concept that they need to have in mind that's biblical, that leads them forward, kind of assuming that at least some of the people, maybe a lot of the people listening, have never thought through what is that like. And I love the fact, even if you don't consider yourself a leader, leadership development and personal development, the growth as a disciple, they're really, you say that all the time, they're kind of one and the same.
Thing, yeah.
And so this is for you, regardless of how much of a leader you think you are. Calvary, we say everybody, leadership is influence and everybody has influence. It's just the capacity. You might have influence over one, somebody in your family or in the workplace, or you might have influence over 100 or 1,000.
Yeah.
But if you have influence, you have leadership. So anyway, just share a little bit about leadership development.
Well, I think the thing, kind of just piggybacking on what you've just said, leadership is influence and not position. We pick up position to exercise influence. But I think most people, basically, when you think of a leader, they think of a position, a pastor, a CEO,
a teacher,
or somebody in the nation, or something like that. But primarily, when it comes to the kingdom, leadership is understanding how God has shaped us and what Jesus is at work doing in us, and then finding a position that helps us live into that influence and share it with other people. And I will never forget the day I kind of got stunned. You know how sometimes you're reading the Bible and you think, wait a minute, I've read this before and I've never seen that before. So I was reading, oddly enough, the book of Hebrews.
Yeah. So we just started Hebrews last week.
Yeah. Great.
Reading
series.
The book of Hebrews.
And bottom line is, I saw in Hebrews chapter 13 an actual mandate and a command to remember those who spoke the word of God to you. In other words, remember those who have led. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith.
Yeah.
And a guy I was taking some classes from, and my mentor, a guy named Bobby Clinton, he just said, there's a mandate in Scripture to study those who have actually gone before us or leaders.
Yeah.
And by implication, study even our own life and how God has shaped us. And the reason is verse 8, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that's not just like a benediction in a church service. Those two verses belong together. That Jesus is at work shaping us just like he has shaped those who have gone before us. And I started kind of thinking about that.
So before you go any further, say those three things again. If people are, you know, trying to think through, what do I do to develop as a leader?
It's actually to remember those.
Remember.
So that's the idea of kind of study their life.
Yeah.
And then consider how God used them, consider the outcome of their way of life, what happened when God shaped them, and then, here's the real key, imitate their faith.
Imitate their faith, yeah.
So in other words, remember, get some principles or concepts, practice them yourself.
Yeah.
And that's actually one of the things that helps us better understand what Jesus is doing in our life.
Yeah.
And as we do, we begin to start to recognize that he really hasn't changed. So here was the eye-popping or jaw-dropping insight for me, how he shaped Peter, how he has shaped Paul, I'm almost going to say Mary, but the singing group, but shows how old I am, and how he has shaped people like Wesley and how he shaped people like Graham is actually the same way he's shaping us.
Yeah.
And I just kind of was stunned. And so if you study those who...
Different outcomes, different ways, same
different
things,
people, he's using the same tools.
Yeah.
He's using integrity checks, obedience checks. He's causing us all to step out in our faith. He's using some similar tools, even though the outcomes look different, to cause us to be, like it says in Ephesians 2:10, able to live out the good deeds which he authored before time began.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, it just was, wow. So the personal implication was, hey, do a timeline in your own journey.
Yeah.
Recognize how God's been shaping you. And then think about doing something about it. Responded.
Yeah.
Just like if you did a timeline on somebody in the Bible you recognize that you have a kinship with, look at their life, see what God did in their life, and actually imitate and use some of those principles to guide your life.
So hang on a minute, because I want to give people who are listening some things that they can do. So you just mentioned the timeline. A lot of people at Calvary would know what a timeline is if you've gone through Leadership Advance or some of the Intro to Calvary stuff that we've done before, or even just more recently, the Resonance deal. You know what a timeline is. But basically, it's taking a look, using Post-it notes, taking a look at the different people, circumstances, and events
in your life
that God has used to shape you, God has used to deposit something in you, God has used to develop you. He's doing something in you so that you can do something for others. And I'll just say, if you're interested in doing that, we're going to have a link on the bottom of the screen. You can go to that link, and Terry online gives you all sorts of guidance
on how to do that. Yep.
A post-it note timeline. Yep. So great exercise if you want to have a better sense of what God has been doing in you to shape you. That'll give you a great
thousands
place to
upon
start.
Thousands of people have done that. Yeah.
It's a fantastic tool. Yeah.
And then what I usually tell people, and then so now you can see your life. So now you know how to do it on you. Think about maybe it'd be kind of cool to pick somebody in the Bible that you have a real affinity to, you're drawn to, you feel like even maybe you're like them, and maybe it's not one person, it's a couple. And then go to the scriptures and pull out every verse about their life and start to begin to recognize, so how did God do it in them? So take for an example, I have a real kinship with Barnabas. And Barnabas, son of encouragement. That's kind of what some of what I do. I studied his life and began to realize one of the keys to my life was to do like he did with Paul and sponsor him and link him together. Mm-hmm. I would have never done that if I hadn't studied Barnabas' life. But because he did that, and I feel that's kind of part of my role too, I've had the opportunity of link leaders with assignments and individuals with key things they should do.
Just like Barnabas.
Just like Barnabas. And the kingdom has expanded. So leadership development isn't some just seminary thing. Leadership development is really personal development. How has God shaped us over our lifetime for influence?
And it's not, just to kind of key in on what you just said, it's not just what you do to develop yourself.
Right.
God is in the act of developing you as a leader, as a person, as a missionary, as an apprentice, as a disciple.
Absolutely.
You're in God's school. Share, if you don't mind, I didn't ask you this ahead of time, but you shared a story in the Resonance deal about kind of one of those first people that God used to shape you to become a person of encouragement. Mm-hmm. And that just kind of ties together, that idea of timeline, mentors, that kind of thing.
I think, you know, I think there's lots of people he's used to shape me, but it was a high school teacher. And my high school teacher actually is speech and debate. Yeah. And when I went into high school, I was one nervous kid who was 5x5, kind of rolling all around and everything like that. And this guy took me under his wing. But the thing that made it so significant is I'll never forget him sitting behind the podium kind of the first day taking our deal, and his arms were... one was actually only two fingers. The other one just had a ball on it. I thought, as a ninth grader, it was kind of like spooky. And then he got down and he was only so tall. And all of this was deformity since birth. And he walked up and down the aisle and he said, "Go ahead. It's okay. I understand. I've accepted me and you need to accept you." And I said, "Well, this is a different kind of class." And he got up front and he said, "I want you to know, before I even know you, I believe in you. I believe you have something to offer this world." And just like an arrow out of heaven, even as a young kid, it just stunned me. And from that moment on, his encouragement, his ability to come alongside, his belief in me changed my life.
Yeah.
And it's one of the reasons why I want to do the same thing with others.
Brother.
And I think we need to realize that the events come into our life to steward them so that we can share them with others. And the more and more I'm able to bring encouragement to others, the more and more I'm, I think, living consistently with how he made me. Because if he's ever been at work, he's always been at work. So these things are coming into our life for purpose. And as we mine those or extract up their meaning, I think we better understand our purpose. So, it's good.
So your biblical mentor is Barnabas.
Right. Who is yours, by the way, Dan?
My biblical mentor is Moses. I'll never forget. In fact, I think it might have been while I was working on the Doctor of Ministry stuff, or not very long before that. But I remember reading something that an author wrote where he shared this experience of asking God, you know, "How do you see me? Who am I? What's my name?"
Wow.
And I remember just kind of feeling this compulsion to do the same. God, how do you see me? And And it was one of those, for me, it was one of those times where, and I haven't had a ton of them, I've had a few, but one of those times where I felt like I could say, God told me, and I quote, God said, you're my Moses. Wow. And so Moses has been my, my biblical mentor. Now, of course, my first thought when that phrase kind of went into my head was, oh, so you're telling me I'm not going to make it into the promised land.
I didn't bring it up, but he's probably telling you in the you're going to take his people to a new place.
Yeah, and you know, honestly, I mean, I hope that's part of it, and I hope that's part of why, you know, God gave me Moses as a biblical mentor. But I've also kind of gone back to that. So you're telling me I'm not going to make it in the promised land, and just I think God has given me a little bit of a different perspective on Moses, because at the end of his life, he didn't get to go into the promised land, so he didn't see the goal, but he actually gained the goal, because the goal was it was knowing God, and you know, these moments, and God's kind of imprinted those on my heart and mind lately, but those moments of, you know, God saying to Moses, you have what you've asked because you're my friend, you know, and that sense of being in the tent of meeting and you know, coming out, his face was glowing because of being in the presence of God and saying to God, God, you know, show me your glory. And I mean, those kinds of things, so that I think in the end, he didn't get to go into the promised land, which was like, you know, everything was leading up to that life goal, it seemed like, but what he got was God. Yeah.
And I think what you're bringing up is really important, because we put all the emphasis on the doing.
Yeah.
But really, when God shapes us, it's an integration of being and doing.
Yeah.
So he takes us deeper in our intimacy
in
order to help ensure that our influence, or the wider, is not something out of ambition, but alignment with him and what he's doing.
Yeah.
So that intimacy is tied to that influence. Yeah. And every time you talk about it, every time I've watched you actually explain him, it grabs your heart, because he's shaping you in the similar way that he shaped Moses. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah. So a couple of things that you can do. So practical, behave your way into development. One is the timeline. Awesome tool. You know, the first time I did it was when we went through our Doctor of Ministry class. I still have my cardboard from that time. I've made a few updates here and there. But it's all about looking at the ways. Ephesians 2:10, you quoted that verse a moment ago. Paul says that we are God's masterpiece. In the Greek, it's literally, you are what God does. You know, we go up and introduce ourselves to somebody, and after we get their name, the next question typically, so what
do you do?
If you introduce yourself to God and say, God, what do you do? God would say, I do you. That's what I do. And so he uses people, circumstances, and events to do us, to shape us, to do good things, but that post-it note timeline is all about taking some time and thinking through how has God used the people, circumstances. So I just encourage you, if you haven't done that, that's one thing to do. And a second thing to do is to choose a biblical mentor. I mean, just take some time and ask God who, or it may even be, especially if you've been a Christian for a while, you kind of know there's a person, a man or a woman in Scripture that God has kind of attracted you to. And first, biblical mentor, but also a mentor or coach can be anybody from history.
Anybody from history, and anybody that down through time have had a similar passion that you feel like you have, or some life experience that you relate to, kind of deal. And since we're coming up actually at another end of the year, and it'd be good to pray about it, think about it, and then maybe have next year as a growth project. Okay, during this year now, I'm going to study the ones that I've chosen and really dig in and see if I can see how God's shaping them in order to better understand how he's shaping me.
And so maybe, I mean, a lot of people, when you talk about a next year kind of thing, a lot of people choose a word.
Right.
Maybe you choose a person, you choose a name. And again,
yeah.
Historical, biblical, maybe even contemporary leaders and being able to interview somebody and say, how is God shaping you? Those could be some really significant ways that you would develop as a person, develop as a leader. So Let me just close by saying there's some really good stuff happening. If you're listening to this on a Saturday evening or Sunday morning, this weekend that you're listening to it, we have our Fall Fest at Harvest Fields. If you're local to State College, we would love to have you join us there. And we always encourage people on CWOW Sunday, go out and love your neighbors. We talk about three things that you might do. Pray first, pray for your neighbors. That's one of the main things that Lynn and I do every CWOW Sunday. We spend an extended amount of time on a prayer drive through our community, Harris Right. Township, praying. We usually end up at the school. There's a middle school in our community, and praying for the kids. Pray first, love all. Everybody that God puts in your path, in your neighborhood, in your workplace, in your classroom, and then invite often. Invite them into your space, into your home, into your front yard, into your life, and ultimately into the life of Christ. And you do that by inviting and asking questions and joining their story kind of where they're at. So just encourage you to take that seriously. And I'm going to ask you, Terry, to pray for Calvary, pray for the folks here, and
absolutely,
and we'll be done.
Yeah, be my honor. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, it is an unbelievable, wonderful truth to think that you who began this good work in us are still at work. Yeah. That you're the author and even the finisher of our faith, that you know who we are. And that discipling and following Jesus after you never stops. It's lifelong. And it's a continuous process of being able to better understand you as you better reveal who you are to us. And it is a challenge sometimes to step beyond where we are and only to discover that you are there too, leading, guiding, shaping, and causing us to be more like Jesus. So, Father, for your continued sovereign work, Jesus, for your work to continue to have both modeled and intercede for us now, and Spirit, for your ability to actually empower the steps we take and lead us and guide us in all truth. Father, Son, and Spirit, continue, I pray, to help us join the dance, to love you with our lives, and to live it in such a way that people will recognize the Lord Jesus Christ. So thank you for this time. Thank you for Calvary. Continue to use all of our lives, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks for joining us.